You're listening to Scratching and Thriving podcast on Exposure TV Network. I'm Dr. A, an educator and entrepreneur.
And I'm Brandon, a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru. And we are two longtime friends who are passionate professionals committed to empowering people to thrive both professionally and personally.
Hey, Brandon.
Well, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. How was your week?
Well, it's been busy. Busy. But good. How about you?
It was good. And I was just leisurely getting things done this week, basically. Mm-hmm. Nothing too traumatic. Mm-hmm. How's work?
Work is work.
Well,
nothing new under the sun there.
Well, that sounded
I know, right? Yeah. So listen to this. This came up this week, which I thought was kind of an interesting. Somebody asked me, you know, are you friends with your coworkers? Do you have long-term friendships with people that you work with in the past? And I had to really think about it. And I was like, I do, but I don't. Do you think that coworkers can be friends?
I have long-term friends that came from being coworkers. So mm-hmm. you can. However, it's better when you are on equal footing. Mm-hmm. So being an executive, I am very careful not to befriend my subordinates. So I'm not going to befriend you on Facebook, Instagram, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Unless you stop working there, then we could possibly do things like that. But if we are counterparts, meaning the same position, then probably, because I'm not your boss, you're not my boss, we on equal playing field. Mm-hmm. But I don't date at work.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, no, so, I know that, that is a thing for some people, but no.
Because that old saying, don't crap where you eat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't believe in that. But as far as being friends, yeah, you can, but it's a slippery slope. So you have to be very, very cautious with it. Because a coworker who is a friend can easily turn into an enemy. Especially
right.
when you get that promotion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you become their boss.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been in that situation as well. And it does not always go well. So you have to be fair across the board, number one. So mm-hmm. pretty much treat everybody the same and be consistent.
Yeah. I think it's tough. I can probably count on one hand the number of long-term friendships that I've had developed with people in the workplace. Part of that is because I am a very private person in general. So personally, I don't open up a lot in the workplace. And I know some people work and home kind of get muddied, right? Like it's, you know, they talk about their weekend and their families. They have pictures of their families everywhere. And you're like, my God, are we at your house or at home? And I'm just not that person. Right. So,
well,
you know people,
I don't keep a lot of stuff in my office anyway, because every time to roll, I just grab my bag and we out.
Right. But it also opens the door for conversation. So I know why people do it. But it to me, I always think of it as it's a little bit like oversharing. Like you said, to your point, when people get promoted and people move throughout the organization, it can breed, you know, feelings of jealousy and favoritism and insecurity. And so I just think sometimes it's better to keep those things, that friendship and that type of a personal relationship separate.
I see where, because we spend so much time at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in my field in healthcare, you could spend up to 12 plus hours a day, three or four, maybe 5 days a week at work. So essentially you're spending more time with your coworkers than you are your family.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how a coworker that you jive well with could be like another family member. I get that. But again, you have to be very careful with it, because that coworker who is friendly right now can become very, very insecure And once mm-hmm. the insecurity sets in about your promotion or your accolades that you're receiving at work, then you see the fangs.
Right.
And it's not always, it go from being, oh, that's my home girl, blah, 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 to dang, what's wrong with her? She got an attitude today. And it's mm-hmm. a slippery slope.
You know, jealousy yes.
Insecurity breeds jealousy and envy.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you get promoted, and then now that quote unquote friend didn't get that promotion, now mm-hmm. it's jealousy.
And you know, jealousy is a normal emotion. It's a normal reaction. It's a raw feeling. It's something that people from time to time have in general, and you always have to keep it in check. But when it's in the workplace, it does kind of hit different, right? Because we're talking about our livelihood. We're talking, to your point earlier, we're talking about a place where we spend a lot of time and energy, and a lot of us work in mission-oriented jobs and careers. So, you know, we're there to serve the people who need our services. So for you, it's healthcare. For us, it's education. So, you know, I don't want to be so focused on, is my coworker over here stabbing me back? Because right. again, my purpose and my mission is here to help these kids and these students thrive, right? You know, it does come about because insecurity, because of fear, because of a scarcity mindset. And right now, that's pervasive. You know, people are out of jobs and people are afraid of losing jobs. So anytime someone gets promoted in this type of environment, people are fearful for their own security in their workplace. And so they start to make little snide remarks and undermine coworkers and things like that. So, you know, it's not an easy time to be dealing with jealousy in the workplace. It's never really an easy time, but especially when people have fear of jobs being scarce, opportunities being scarce, supervisors playing favoritism because of the economic situation we're currently in the country, right?
Right. So my situation is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is booming right now because of mm-hmm. the whole COVID pandemic. So the difference is I see a lot less of it now than I used to because they're mm-hmm. too busy to be in mess.
Because
mm-hmm. I can tell you in my field, when there's not enough to do, they sit around, they cackle like little hens, and they stir up mess.
Mm-hmm.
So because they're too busy with COVID patients and the influx of patients being sicker than they usually are, and just the different protocols that we have to go through now to keep everybody safe, then they're too busy to sit around and cackle and cause and stir up mess. Used to, you would see clicks all through yep. the hospital. Now, you don't see that as much because they just ain't got the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do anticipate that COVID becoming a norm for us, the processes and procedures becoming a norm, then I anticipate seeing a lot of that stir back up mm-hmm. like before. And, you know, right now, nobody wants to do that executive leadership in healthcare because it's too stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much stress because there's so much going on. But it's going to come a point where it becomes the norm and the stress is decreased and people are going to want to fight for those positions. And then once they fight for them, there becomes promotions and there's the envy, there's the insecurity, there'll be the call for favoritism and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, your field is scarce. So you're having a lot of the promotion envy that we don't see. We're not seeing right now. But give it another 6 months. We'll mm-hmm. see it. And we can talk about this again, and I'll have another perspective on it.
Yeah, education isn't so much scarce as much as it is just the way it's structured, right? But it's that whole concept of there are only so many executive jobs, right? So you have right. maybe 7 executive positions in the company. And then underneath that layer, you may have another 10 positions. And then below that, you have 50 people who are staff, like the line folks, right? Those 50 mm-hmm. people are competing for those 10 mid-level positions and those top seven positions. It's only so many. So that whole scarcity mindset a lot of times has to do with, as you're climbing through that funnel to try to get to the top, there's only so many places that you can go. There's only so many positions that you can have. And so when supervisors start recognizing people and people start getting accolades, folks start getting in their feelings. And right. they get in their feelings, and it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary because, you know, if it's meant for you, it will happen. You don't have to right. be jealous of somebody else. That's number one. And number two, a lot of times your coworkers, I mean, in essence, some are really competing with you, right? Like they just need that attention. They need that, you know, but a lot of times we're all in this together. We all have a part to play. We have different roles. We're not really competing with each other. We have a job to do. And I am going to be better at some things than you are. And you're going to be better at some things than I am. If you got a solid boss and a solid leadership, then, you know, jealousy is going to be, it's going to be really hard to breed that type of environment.
But you also brought up a good point. You can get jealousy from your boss.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what I have noticed is that when your boss is not as skilled as you are, sometimes they either want you gone because you intimidate them, or they want to suppress your skill set. Because I've seen it. I have seen it. And I like to sit back and watch people interact in the boardroom just to see mm-hmm. the dynamics. And mm-hmm. I see it sometimes when a very dynamic speaker will get up there and have their stuff together. And it's just a fantastic presentation. And you can tell that it makes their boss uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sit still. They try their best to shoot holes in the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can't, they'll try to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that will cause a lot of strife between the boss and the subordinate. But to make it through all of that, you have to understand the psychology of it all, because mm-hmm. the boss is human, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So humans naturally are sometimes intimidated, mm-hmm. especially when they feel like this person who just presented could be a risk for their job.
Right.
Well, I like to look at it a different way. If one of my subordinates do well, I'm excited, because if you do well, that meant I did my job.
Right. That's how it should be.
And it's called succession planning.
Exactly. It just doesn't always happen that way. That's exactly how it should be. Anytime you are being a leader in training and developing your staff, then you ought to find joy in their advancement, their successes, their wins, because that's also a win for you too.
I like to sometimes stroke my boss's ego mm-hmm. because I am the type that's going to give their presentation that's going to be the bomb. Not to toot my own horn, but it's the truth, because I'm not going to show you nothing or present anything that's half. Because
mm-hmm.
my mother always taught me, if you're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always say, I'm only as good as my boss. So that will make, you know, that strokes their ego a little bit. And then when they say, well, you did a fantastic job. Well, no, it wasn't me. It was my team. My team did a great job.
Right.
And I like to spread the accolades. I don't like to get them directly all the time, because the fact is, in my position, I didn't do a whole lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I let them come up with the concept. I put it together and I presented it. And I start by saying, this is what the team came up with. I am just here presenting to you all to get your opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I go from there, because I can't take credit for it. But you mm-hmm. will find a lot of people at my level will try their best to take credit for it. And I'm thinking, you ain't had time to do that. You got mm-mm. 600 people to report to you. I know you ain't do that. Who did that
mm-hmm.
for you?
Mm-mm. So how do you deal with jealousy in the workplace?
I have to manage my responses to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I will ignore it. I'm just going to mm-hmm. be honest. I'd be like, look, I ain't got time to play with you today. I like to, like I said before, understand the human aspect of it. I like to understand the rationale behind it. Okay, why are you acting out like this? How has your day been? why are you insecure? And I try my best to make sure, like I said, spread the accolades around so that nobody says anything about favoritism or, you know, everybody gets credit for the work that they do. And I very rarely take credit for it because 9 times out of 10, I really didn't do it. And I want to make sure that my leader is uplifted along with my subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I deal with it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? I like the idea of the not reacting to it, right? Like for me, it's check your own behavior first. Make sure that, you know, if you are experiencing jealousy in the workplace, at least try to reflect and assess and acknowledge if you are contributing to people feeling jealous. Like, are you being a team player? Are you humble? So if you get recognized, are you the one that's like, ah, everybody look at my certificate. I just got, you know, are you that person? Or are you the one to kind of take a more humble approach into accepting any accolades or recognition that you get in the workplace? And then I think, you know, words matter. Choose your words wisely when you're working in the workplace, right? Because you may have to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, you are showboating, always got something to say, always trying to throw somebody under the bus, and then wonder why people feel a certain way towards you, it may not be jealousy that they're actually feeling. They may just not like you.
Right. And that's the difference between that cocky and that confidence. Because you can be confident all day long, give a great presentation, the difference between confidence and cocky is you can give a great presentation and know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. All of it makes sense. And then you give the accolades to other people. That's confident. Right. Cocky is when you take all the accolades, look at what I did, you're boasting, you're bragging. And it's like, I know you ain't did that. Because if me and you got the same position and you got time to do that, then I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. Or you ain't getting the job done.
Right.
So it's kind of, you have to find that fine line between cocky and confident, because when you cocky kicks in, people gon' fight against it, and they
Absolutely.
Are going to give you a lot of hell about it.
Mm-hmm.
It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think the other big piece too is to make sure that you have advocates and sponsors throughout the organization. So if you do find yourself in a situation where you're promoted and you feel like you're on an island, you're by yourself, and you feel like folks down below are stabbing you, or folks to the side of you are stabbing you, maybe even some folks above you are stabbing you in the back, then you really have developed relationships with key people that can help advocate and support you throughout the organization. So it's kind of like finding those individuals who will support and advocate for you when you're putting things up, when you're putting up initiatives, when you are trying to make changes in the workplace. Because otherwise, all of your naysayers are going to rally around each other and you will never get anything done.
Agreed. And I always say you have to have a sponsor on the C-suite, because the very moment, and you'll see it a lot of time in healthcare, when that sponsor leaves the C-suite, everybody they sponsor will be right behind them, leaving
Absolutely.
The organization. Because they know that, number one, your performance may not be up to par. And their sponsor may be helping save your behind. And number two, you may just not like the other members of the C-suite. And you don't want to deal with them or have to work side by side with them. Because, number one, you may not trust them. So a lot of times, like you said, you have to have a sponsor who's going to back you up. Because if not, you dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Adrian, I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
right.
Let us know. What's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us. So that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right, and look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails, because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with, because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations that we can tell you how to overcome some of these humps. I'm just telling you.